proclaim the Lord of when they have testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord. Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Now Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting on his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of the scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who could speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began at that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Then he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Thanks be to God.
This is the word of the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Rogan. Awesome job. Before we go into today's sermon, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are Emmanuel, God, with us. Lord, I ask for clarity and focus and peace. Let every word I speak be your words and not mine. Lord, let your will be done. Guide our attention, guide our thoughts this morning. I pray that your word come alive in our hearts. Protect this place, protect this time. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have been learning and reading through the book of Acts together. And a quick review of where we have gone, what we see in the first few books, our first few chapters up until 8, the Holy Spirit comes. We see the number of believers in Christ multiply. We read about the disciples when they were met with resistance and were threatened. They came together and they prayed. And they prayed not for the threats to stop, not for things to get smoother, easier. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for boldness to continue to speak and to share that there is power and salvation in Jesus' name. We see the apostles do miracles in Jesus' name. We read about the first martyr, Stephen. Although in chapter 9, we have learned about Saul's conversion. And last week, at the beginning of chapter 8, Pastor Nick had shared that the gospel transforms everyone, and we limit God's work in our lives when we are not in his word or listen to his spirit. And today, as we complete chapter 8, we see that it's a story of it's an interaction between two people, Philip and an Ethiopian eunuch. And what we know in these verses, Although the Ethiopian is nameless, there are specific things shared about him. His ethnicity, his physical condition, his professional status as a great position in power in the Ethiopian kingdom. And his description points to an individual of great means and education. He is literate and wealthy enough to own what would have been a very expensive scroll of Isaiah. And he has chosen to take a very long and potentially dangerous trip from his homeland to Jerusalem. And as we learn in the Old Testament in Leviticus 21 and Deuteronomy 23, eunuchs were excluded from participation in the temple rituals and from full admittance as converts into Israel's community. And as a eunuch, he was ritually or religiously far off. But as we learn about Philip, we see in the beginning of the story an angel instructs Philip in the middle of nowhere to travel to the middle of nowhere in a very desert region. And again, the roads at this time, they're dangerous, it's lonely, but without any questions, Philip goes and heads out and miles and miles and miles out on his own and miraculously finds a distinguished chariot. And he is urged by God to run alongside this chariot. Now again, Philip, by himself in the desert, travels miles alone. Can't you picture someone who maybe is out of breath, who's very dusty, whose hair is wild, and approaches a stranger in the middle of nowhere? And their conversation begins as a question, a very bold question from Philip. Do you understand what you are reading? When I read this, my response is, I'm a little offended. I get defensive, of course I know what I'm reading. Like, what are you talking about, stranger? But that's so bold. That's where he was led to go. And it appears that Philip knows what the eunuch is reading, the scroll of Isaiah. And although it seems like there's a potential for great cross-cultural miscommunication, instead it becomes an invitation to learn more and to be taught. In this time, or even today, people of means and power and education are not accustomed to asking for help, and even less accustomed to taking advice from some random stranger in the middle of nowhere. But Philip asks, do you understand what you are reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch responds, how can I, unless someone guides me? There was a disconnect for the eunuch and what he was reading. And he invited Philip to come and sit next to him. And they read together. They travel together, learning about what Isaiah 53 is talking about. And as they read these verses, another question is asked between them. Who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about someone else? And Philip responds, and he opens his mouth and shares the gospel. He shares the good news. How can I know unless someone guides me? And who is this that we are learning about? Who is this that we are talking about? Jesus. That is who he was learning about for the first time. And we see next in this story, in this interaction, the timing of water in the middle of the desert. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is the water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. Philip and the eunuch, and he went and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. We see the miraculous appearance of water in the middle of nowhere and answers this question definitively. Nothing will prevent him from being baptized. Not his ambiguous status as a eunuch, not his ethnicity, not his riches and learning, not being in the middle of nowhere with a stranger named Philip. But God's saving power will not be restrained. And if you notice in these verses, it goes 35, 36, 38, 39, 40. Something's missing. Something's off. And in many Bibles, you'll see a footnote that will reproduce the verse 37. And what does this verse 37 say? It contains, in mine it says, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. It contains what ancient readers and scribes thought was a missing piece of the story. And it contains the eunuch's confession of faith. And the story ends much as it began. God seeing to it that the gospel rushes to the ends of the earth. Even as those commissions for that particular job sit at home in Jerusalem, the eunuch himself will take the message into Africa, while the Spirit whisks Philip away to preach alongside the shores of the Mediterranean. And this is God's Spirit doing as it pleases and not boxed in by human expectations or limitations. We find here no broken patterns in Acts or how or when God's Spirit anoints people. And just because we construct a theology that boxes God's Spirit, it does not mean that God is in the box, that God is boxed. We notice that this story is very active. Philip is traveling from Jerusalem, sharing his testimony and the good news, and then travels far away, trusting God is leading him somewhere to something. And he runs up to this chariot and is invited to share the gospel. And the Ethiopian eunuch chariot is still traveling towards home, and he and Philip are having a conversation. And the only time this chariot stops is when the water is seen, and there is a baptism. And then after the baptism, God moves Philip miles away, and the eunuch carries on rejoicing. There's a lot of moving pieces. I love the reaction. Philip has been carried off away. He was like, nope, I've been baptized. I believe in Jesus. And he carries on his way. And he goes and shares the good news to his homeland. I recently read, one of my favorite authors is Lisa Turkhurst. And she shared about her visit to a holy land. And her tour guide had taken her group to this place. And she was, not enthused, I don't know if that's the right word, but it was not the touristy part. She said there were no cars, we were all alone, and he shares that this is the place where this story happened, that there was meaning to this place, and they were visiting and they read these verses of where it happened. And she said she walked away from this with a few things. To go near. This Ethiopian eunuch wasn't like Philip. He was not in his inner circle, in his comfort zone, or part of his immediate sphere of influence. And yet the Spirit instructed Philip to go close. She shares, God, help us. We must break out of the boxes of our normality and dare to go close to those we don't understand. We must not use words like those people with pointed fingers, hardened hearts, and spiritually superior attitudes. By going close, we see things we need to see. We hear things we need to hear, and our hearts become tender in the way we must become tender. By going close, we might actually dare to let love guide our approach. She said the second thing that she took away was gaining understanding. God help us, instead of running alongside people seeking to understand them, we sometimes have the tendency to run them over with our agendas and our perceptions and our points of view. We must seek to be discerning and not demanding. And third, earn the right to share. Once Philip dared to go near and gain understanding, then he earned the right to share. God help us, we must go to people, listen to people, start where they are, not where we want them to be. And from their point of need, lovingly share the good news about Jesus. And she continues to share. One thing that she really loved about Philip continued to travel down the road with this man for a bit. And as they shared this time, and as she was shocked as she was about visiting a place that she was not anticipating to visit and to experience, she said the tour guide and everyone gathers back on the bus, and he shares this. individuals matter. In regards to this story, in regards to this interaction, individuals matter. We see Jesus' life here on earth. He approached crowds, but people individually as well. He used his apostles to do the same. And let us follow that example. Individuals matter. There's much to gather from this story, from this interaction between these two. But let's focus on Christ's reconciliation work in this story. We see eunuchs will be brought within God's house and given a name greater than sons and daughters, as we see in Isaiah 56, verses 3 through 8, just a few chapters after what they had been studying. God's embrace of the eunuch and the foreign eunuch at that shows the promised age of restoration has begun to dawn. Who was once not welcomed will be restored because of the healing grace of Jesus. In regards to Philip, there is also this unsettling reversal in which one has commissioned to tend the table at home, finds himself setting the table in desert places. And as we've learned in Acts chapter 6, he is one of the seven called to make sure that the widows are fed. And he goes and he continues to evangelize. We see that their differences didn't divide, but God's truth and love brought them together. This interaction, this moment, this story is foundational and pivotal moment for the church. The gospel, the good news, Jesus is for all the world. Ethnicity, professional, educational status, we all need to know. The gospel reaches everyone in the desert to the mountaintop. And we see that the church is growing not only in number, but across the world. It is not stagnant. It is active. It is moving. It is growing. And that's something to celebrate. The story also speaks to comfort zones. And I think our human nature, and what I observe strongly in American culture, is to crave comfortability. But Philip and the eunuch didn't seem to focus on comfort. They didn't focus on status or location or a stranger running up to a chariot in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't fear. But they focused on what was in front of them, what was leading them. That was the good news. I was trusting Jesus and trusting the Holy Spirit's guidance. As far as comfort zones, as I read this and Philip being carried away and placed in a new town, that's really wild to me. I know it's happened in the Old Testament, it's happened before, we've read about it. But this challenges me to really trust the wildness of God. Again, speaking to not placing God in this box, into something that seems controlled or something that we can answer everything to. But the wildness of God, that he is in control, and I'm glad he can't be put in a box. He is not limited like we are. And these asking questions, again, bold. Who will guide me? Do you understand what you are reading? Asking questions that can be out of the comfort zone. They can be bold. And going beyond what people have assigned and trusting God's gifts and talents he has given you. The gospel is powerful. The name of Jesus, powerful. And some don't know. Some don't fully know Jesus. And it takes us out of our comfort zone. There is personal and spiritual growth when we go out of our comfort zone and share and not assume. Levi Lesko, who's a pastor and another author I really admire, says Jesus can't take you somewhere new if you're comfortable with where you're at. The ministry of reconciliation, as we read about in the book of Corinthians, it brings hope and healing to our relationship with God and with each other. It was a while back, but Pastor Nick, as he was leading communion, shared something that has continued to stick with me, and I share again, and I repeat with you this morning. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. where we are all welcome to come and to celebrate and to remember. And just as they read Isaiah 53, I want to close in reading a few verses from this chapter as well. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth like the lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who consider that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken from his transgressions of my people. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Let us close in prayer. Lord, I thank you that you welcome us to come as we are. We thank you that the foot of the cross is level, and we come and we surrender and we remember and we repent and we look to you, our Savior. Lord, as we think about the things that take us out of our comfort zone, as we think about what it means to share the good news, to share that there is power in Jesus' name, Lord, we ask for boldness, as your apostles did. We ask for strength, for courage, not to dwell on the words that we may not have, but trust that you have the words, and that you provide the peace, and you provide the opportunities. Go before us as we move into a time of prayer and communion and remembering. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.